What if the secret to having more time isn't about squeezing more into your day, but about changing how time feels? Most of us wake up already defeated, our calendars crammed, our to-do lists mocking us before breakfast. We've bought the planners, downloaded the apps, color-coded our lives, yet time still slips through our fingers like water. Here's the twist. The people who feel they have enough time aren't doing less. They've simply cracked a code the rest of us are missing. Through studying over 900 working parents and their time diaries, a pattern emerged. Those who felt calm and unhurried had structured their lives around a counterintuitive truth. They knew exactly where their time went, and they'd made peace with reality instead of fighting it. Remember that shock when you heard your voice on a recording? That's how most people feel when they actually track their time. We're all unreliable narrators of our own lives, selectively remembering the frantic weeks while forgetting the quiet afternoons we spent scrolling. One school principal thought he was drowning in administrative tasks until someone shadowed him for a week, documenting every five-minute block. The data revealed he spent less than 40% of his time on what mattered most, instructional leadership. Armed with this truth, he redesigned his schedule completely, creating Teaching Tuesdays and leaving work by 4:30 most days. Studies confirm we're terrible at this. People claiming 75-hour work weeks typically overestimate by 25 hours. Our perception is fiction dressed as fact. Your brain collapses identical experiences into single memory units, making years vanish into weeks. William James noted that emptiness, monotony, familiarity make time shrivel up. An 800,000-hour life can compress to 5 weeks in memory. Childhood felt endless because everything was new. You remember your first kiss, but not last Tuesday's dinner. People who do memorable things are 14% more likely to feel they have enough time. Those with the richest time perception fill days with spontaneous movie outings, salsa dancing, or conversations with unfamiliar colleagues. Sometimes it's just trying a new lunch spot or eating breakfast outdoors, creating distinct memory units instead of letting days blur. You're three different people: the anticipating self, who plans, the experiencing self, who lives now, and the remembering self, who looks back. Creating time-expanding memories means privileging the first and last over the middle. The experiencing self screams loudest when deciding whether to go to that concert or stay home. But time passes regardless. You'll be on the other side of the next 24 hours, whether you fill them with nothing or something memorable. One executive built his success on something that sounds like career suicide: keeping his calendar mostly empty. While colleagues filled every slot with meetings as proof of importance, he maintained white space deliberately. His logic? An open calendar means he's available for what actually matters. He rejected the meeting-centric culture where people can't make decisions without meetings, which creates more meetings, which prevents email reading, which requires even more meetings. Instead, he empowered employees to decide independently and stayed available for quick hallway conversations. This approach created mental space for the truly important. A 60-minute meeting easily consumes 90 minutes with preparation and transitions. By pushing back against schedule clutter, he paradoxically appeared to have capacity, which led his company to trust him with additional responsibilities. The uncomfortable truth: most of us fill time because we can, not because we should. People with the most abundant time perception work about 1 hour less daily than those feeling time-starved, not because they're lazy, but because they strategically choose not to fill every gap. They take conscious breaks, match tasks to energy levels, and resist the cultural pressure to look perpetually busy. One mother transformed her family's hectic hockey schedule by embracing a single word: linger. She stayed through the second shift of family dinners as children arrived at different times, explored towns where games took them, and made a conscious mental switch by reminding herself there is nothing wrong when conditions were actually pleasant. Lingering isn't about enjoying every moment, an impossible standard. It's about giving important things the time they deserve, consciously staying with enjoyable experiences rather than rushing to the next task. But you can't linger if you're always late. Chronic lateness usually stems from people-pleasing, can't end conversations, or optimism, remembering that one quick drive instead of the usual longer one. The solution? Track how long things actually take, then build in buffers. Savoring transforms lingering into an art form, adding appreciation to pleasure, acknowledging the goodness you're experiencing. People who feel present rather than distracted are 35% more likely to say they have time for what matters. One psychology professor uses mental time travel to appreciate ordinary moments, imagining himself in a nursing home wishing he could teach just one more class, then realizes that's today. Engineering lingering through a daily vacation exercise. Spend 10 to 20 minutes daily on something enjoyable while consciously acknowledging each pleasurable sensation. One CEO with four young children and hundreds of employees starts his day at 4:55 a.m. with CrossFit, followed by time at a local Waffle House to read, work, or meet companions. By carving out personal time while his family sleeps, he feels less busy while accomplishing more. He's investing in his own happiness first, not selfishly, but strategically. When people want more time, they really want more hours doing things that make them happy. Those with positive time perception spend more time exercising and socializing. Those with negative perception spend more time online and watching TV. Money, used strategically, enables happiness through experiences that become lasting memories. Time, like money, can be invested to bring happiness and freedom. Morning hours offer special opportunities for those with grand ambitions but busy schedules. The most profound investment is mental, flipping the switch from enduring to enjoying. This requires becoming good at suffering, holding two truths simultaneously. This too shall pass, and this too is good. One artist found freedom by changing a single expectation. Make art when you can, relax when you can't. The real issue isn't capacity, it's expectations exceeding reality, creating suffering through mental anguish. Research divides people into maximizers, who seek the absolute best option, and satisficers, who choose the first option meeting their criteria. Satisficers tend to be happier because they don't waste time ruminating over choices or comparing themselves to others. In a world with physical and financial limitations, the idea of the best is preposterous. Process goals, essentially habits, prove more effective than outcome goals because they remain within your control. Make these goals so small, there's no resistance. One running streak began with just 1 mile daily, often leading to longer runs once started. Small actions repeated consistently add up to seemingly impossible achievements. Letting go of expectations is crucial in relationships. People change only when they want to, not because someone worries about them. Parenting teaches this, from Pinterest nurseries rearranged for practicality to discovering your child is the daycare biter. Extend the same gentleness to yourself. When frustrated with writing, remember Hemingway's advice: write the truest sentence that you know. The paradox: low expectations consistently met lead to great achievements, not through force, but through gentle persistence. Two best friends maintained weekly Monday cooking dinners, then deliberate phone calls after moving apart. When one tried to reschedule, the other held firm, not in flexibility, but establishing ground rules for a decades-long friendship. I felt chosen and excited to rise to the challenge. The data reveals, people who spend more time with friends and family feel they have more time. Those with the highest time perception scores spent nearly twice as much time with loved ones and used inclusive language: walk/run with kids and dog, ate dinner with my whole family. Most people relegate relationships to leftover time after obligations. This fails because free hours come during low energy periods. Instead, treat relationships with work-level intentionality. Create bucket lists with three equal categories: career, relationships, self. Set quarterly goals across all three. For immediate family, create meaning within existing time. You likely have 50-plus waking hours at home weekly, but they focus on logistics, getting everyone out the door, through homework, managing tasks. Few would arrive at work with no plan, yet many come home without thought about their evening. For distant relationships, try contacting one person daily, brief emails with a compliment and something helpful. At 250 emails yearly with 40% response rate, that's 100 responses and potentially 20 meaningful connections. Not all friendships survive career building or family raising years. The goal isn't quantity, but quality. Identifying which relationships merit investment despite inconvenience, then going all in.